It may be the year of living dangerously. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to this edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy, and along with me today is my co-host, Vice Chairman, good friend, fellow analyst, and the guy who kept this program going for the last couple of weeks while I dealt with a major health issue, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to have you back, Barry. I'm really glad to have you back. I got kind of tired of talking to myself.
It's good to be back, considering that every time you and I tried to do this over the last couple of weeks, my sinuses and chest and throat just did not want to cooperate.
Yeah, well, I'm really glad to have you back, and hopefully now I will not catch it.
Well, I don't think we can quite catch it over the magic of Skype. So I think you're being 125 miles away might keep you from getting this bug.
Yeah, well, the legislative season is about to start back up, which means we'll meet face-to-face from time to time.
That's true.
And we'll be with all those people down there at the State House, and they're a pretty disease-ridden bunch.
Yeah, well, so. You do have a point on that one. Well, you know, Chuck, honestly, I'm not sure if what's been going on in our country right now, if getting healthy and getting back into the legislative game is actually worth it anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But you and I have been paying attention to, and as a matter of fact, before I started getting really sick, we talked about, to some extent, the problems with the National Defense Authorization Act, which has since been passed by both chambers of Congress and has been signed into law by President Barack Obama. And we've talked on this program about some of his unconstitutional comments in his signing statements. But Chuck, as bad as some of the provisions in NDAA are with relation to basically killing the Posse Comitatus Act, putting a significant dent in the protections of a writ of habeas corpus in relation to a runaway government, you and I, over this last week and the weekend, were alerted to another issue that's been out there for a little bit, but is now just starting to be noticed by more people in the public. That is kind of a 1-2 punch. If we thought that NDAA's provisions were bad, this bill's provisions, this is the right to the jaw to put fighter on the mat, won't you think?
Oh, at least that. It's part of a pattern that's beginning to emerge in American government. And this is something that you and I have been talking about basically as part and parcel of trying to rewrite the Constitution. And what is going on really is that guys like you and I have rung the tocsin on that particular issue. And so now lawmakers are beginning to realize that they're going to have to they're not going to get the chance to rewrite the Constitution. So they're going to have to bypass it. And since you can't legally bypass it, basically this is a yet another in a series of what I would call federal lawlessness. We've got the President of the United States at rallies jumping up and down and screaming about how he's going to bypass Congress. We've got Congress who refused to enforce the law by reining in either the judiciary or the executive branch, which is well within their purviews. And now we've got congressmen who basically think it's a good idea to strip people of their citizenship and throw them into foreign prisons.
Yeah, you're right. And Chuck, just so our listeners understand what we're talking about, we're talking about a piece of legislation that's been introduced in both the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. In the House, it is House Resolution 3166, H.R. 3166, or what's called the Enemy Expatriation Act, introduced by Pennsylvania Representative Charles Dent from the 15th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, and its companion piece in the Senate, SB 1698, Senate Bill 1698, who's introduced by one of the few independents, well, only because neither party wants to take him in, Joe Lieberman in the Senate. Both of these bills are exactly the same. Chuck and I have reviewed them. The language is exactly the same in these two pieces of legislation. They were both introduced on the 12th of October of last year, simultaneously in the House and the Senate. So this is a coordinated effort between Representative Dent and Senator Lieberman. And Chuck, since you picked up on this, I want you to explain to the folks what we're dealing with here with the Enemy Expatriation Act.
Well, what the Enemy Expatriation Act does is something that's really kind of frightening. And that is, it's an attempt to bypass the limits expressed in the U.S. Constitution, especially in Article 3, about treason and what can be done in cases of treason. What happens with this Enemy Expatriation Act is there are a list of things that can be done in which a person can be stripped of their United States citizenship.
Yes.
What's interesting about that is this is an attempt to bypass a requirement for the definition of treason. And what basically is required in a court of law for someone to be convicted of treason is the testimony of two eyewitnesses to the same overt act.
Yes.
Or an admission in open court. Those are the only two ways that you can convict someone of treason.
And I think that's incredibly important, that latter portion, that admission in open court, because it can't just take place anywhere, can it, Chuck?
No, it sure can. It has to take place in a court of law that is under the jurisdiction of the judicial branch. And yes, we have had many negative things to say about the judiciary, but the fact is that it is there for our protection, not to act as a tool of tyranny. And this is one of the places where it is supposed to act as a protection. And what is happening in the Enemy Expatriation Act is they are attempting to bypass it and make it possible for a United States citizen to be detained and tried by a military tribunal and stripped of his citizenship without bypassing the trial aspect of a treason trial.
Right. Yeah.
You combine this with the National Defense Authorization Act, and what has happened is you can now be basically arrested by the military, hauled off to Guantanamo Bay, tried by a military tribunal for a supposed act of treason. And frankly, I think the definitions in the law that already exists is unconstitutional, according to what we talked about last week, mm-hmm. which was ex parte Merriman and ex parte Milligan. But the fact is that this is an attempt to bypass that whole trial in open court thing and do these things without bothering to go through a treason trial. Basically, you can be tried for treason without actually going through a court. You can go through a military tribunal. Folks, that is not constitutional by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not at all. Now, Chuck, these bills, the Enemy Expatriation Act, H.R. 3166 and S.B. 1698, are purporting to make changes to an existing piece of law. It's Title 8 of the United States Code in Section 1481, and that reference will be written 8 U.S.C. 1481, which is part of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. And that section, I pulled it up from Cornell University Law School's website. Basically, the section is loss of nationality by native-born or naturalized citizens, voluntary action, burden of proof, and presumptions. That's what the section deals with. Did you notice that I said loss of nationality by native-born citizens? That's you and me, ladies and gentlemen. We're native-born citizens. This isn't somebody who comes into the country on a visa or gets a green card and goes through the process to become naturalized, or somebody who's here and they marry somebody or they have an anchor baby. Those are not the people we're talking about here, although they would be included in the broad sweep of this bill's provisions. We're talking about American citizens who now, with the NDAA being passed, have lost the right to a writ of habeas corpus and are under the potential specter of the military being used as domestic police to go and gather people up from their domiciles for suspected acts of treason, or, as the Enemy Expatriation Act puts it in its provisions, for engaging in or purposefully and materially supporting hostilities against the United States. Now, Chuck, you and I have talked about this before. The big problem with this is definitions. Certain things in this are defined.
Oh, yeah.
Only one thing in this particular new piece of legislation is defined, and that's the term hostilities. And it says, for purposes of this section, the term hostilities means any conflict subject to the laws of war. But the point is, the problem is, the words purposefully and materially supporting are left to the discretion of those who would strip your nationality, which would be, as we said,
exactly,
military tribunals, or maybe even just a fiat by the chief executive or the commander in chief. This raises so many constitutional issues. It's amazing.
Think about it in this way. There have been several cases of, for instance, Afghanis and Pakistanis who own convenience stores that do things like exchange money and send money back to Pakistan and Afghanistan for immigrants and that kind of thing, who have been accused of materially supporting Al-Qaeda. Well, let's say you stop in there every day and have a sandwich and some kind of a beverage of your choice in there. You are doing business with a business that is, and let's say that they are directly accused of being this. You suddenly are in concert with someone and aiding and abetting someone who is committing an act that would be considered hostile to the United States of America. Does that mean now that you, because you have exchanged money in one of these convenience stores, does that mean that you are now an enemy combatant?
Well, it could possibly mean that, because again, since they're moving this thing into the Immigration and Naturalization Act, ladies and gentlemen, what we're getting at is the fact that this bill could make average American, you could basically be whisked off by the military, taken to undisclosed locations where they do not have to produce your body, even under threat of a court order, and strip you of your American citizenship. That's what expatriation means. It's to strip you of your citizenship. And, Chuck, I'm seeing that based on the fact of what we said in Article 3 of our Constitution, there seems to be no recourse to this because, again, and Article 3, which we read earlier, has a provision in there that says that it's either by admission in an open court or by the testimony of two witnesses that someone can be declared treasonous, and then thus these provisions kick into play. However, with this, you don't have that, and I see that raises some significant constitutional issues because basically, it says that this, if you tie it into Section 1481 of Title 8 of the United States Code, that you can basically, for a number of reasons, there's seven reasons already, which is interesting because number seven says, and this is current law, that committing any act of treason against or attempting by force to overthrow or bearing arms against the United States, violating or conspiring to violate any of the provisions of Title 8, this other section, and they go on to talk about two or three sections, which we won't go into all of those today, but basically it says that if you're basically levying war or any of these others, if and when he is convicted thereof by a court-martial or by a court of competent jurisdiction, okay? But the big problem is, and ladies and gentlemen, this goes back to an earlier program, if you've listened to us for a while, that we talked about the problem of Anwar al-Awlaki. The point is that when was he convicted by a court-martial or court of competent jurisdiction? There haven't been. So along comes the Enemy Expatriation Act to add the section that says, or engaging in or purposefully and materially supporting hostilities against the U.S., or the United States. So, Chuck, what they're doing is they're getting around the whole idea that you've got to go to a court and get a finding of treason before you can take somebody's citizenship or, as we talked about with the case of al-Awlaki, take their lives.
And you know what, Barry? We are rapidly running out of time. Now, tomorrow, I would like to take a victory lap on this particular issue, and I will explain why tomorrow. So if you want to hear why I'm going to run around like an idiot, with like a chicken with my head cut off, of shaking my arms in the air and taking a victory lap, then I would tune in tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.